Mark chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to say that again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, me and Kathy are movie people. And let me explain that. We like movies. We like a good movie. I like the movie Pearl Harbor when it came out. Braveheart. It's one of my favorite movies. I like Braveheart. I preached that in Scotland. And my last thing is I was on the platform. I just dropped the handkerchief and said, freedom! The place went crazy. But I notice if a movie's real good, they'll try to make a part two on it. And sometimes the sequel is not as good as the original. Every once in a while, you find one. They said the movie of all movies is The Godfather. But then yet, they said The Godfather 2 was better than The Godfather 1. Sequels. The new old covenant, the new covenant is better than the old covenant. That's about the best sequel you could get. I want to talk this morning about the greatest sequel ever told. And I got that watching, I heard an actor, I can't call his name right now, was talking about, he was a little nervous about doing part two of this particular movie, because he said most of the time, part two of the sequel is not as good as the original. But I find the new covenant is much better than the old covenant. It really is, because there's freedom, complete freedom in the new covenant. But it doesn't do away with the old covenant. It's called Judeo-Christian ethic. Now look at this verse again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Title of this message is the greatest sequel ever told. So in this verse, this one verse is all we're going to deal with, has three beginnings. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now how can that verse have three beginnings? The gospel has three beginnings, yet it is right to speak of each as the beginning. It's three beginnings, yet each one can be a beginning. The beginning as seen in the divine councils when the gospel was but a thought. Remember, this is the beginning. The beginning as seen in the incarnation when the gospel became a person. And the beginning as seen in its believers when the gospel becomes a new creature. So it says the beginning of the gospel, and it can be when it was a thought, when it was a person, and when it was a new creation. That one verse right there. Now, that's the greatest sequel ever told. Let me say it again. The gospel has three beginnings, yet it is right to speak of each as the beginning. Now, I'm going to do a little teaching this morning. The beginning as seen in the divine councils when the gospel was but a thought, when before it was ever written, somebody said, someone's coming. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The beginning as seen in the incarnation when the gospel became a person, a virgin conceived. Now, how can that be? Well, when God's on the throne and around, anything can happen. Anything. Now, it doesn't make any sense in the natural, because even the Virgin Mary said, how can this be since I know not a man? And even when he explained it to her, she didn't completely understood it. She just accepted it by faith. He said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, shall conceive a child. You shall call his name Jesus. She went, let it be even as thou hast said. And Jesus was birthed in her womb. The incarnation became a person. The gospel, in the beginning was the Word. He was called the Word, and the Word was God. First, he was a thought. Now, he became a person. And then through the believers, through Only Believe Ministries here, through all of us today, the gospel has become a new creation. See, we therefore new creations in Christ Jesus. So the gospel has three beginnings, yet it is right to speak of each as the beginning. Number one, the beginning as seen in the divine councils when the gospel was but a thought. And I'm saying that because some of you are writing this down. The beginning as seen in the incarnation when the gospel become a person. The beginning as seen in its believers when the gospel becomes a new creation. People say, why are you so happy? I've been created anew. Every day I have fresh joy from the Lord. But my joy that was fresh that immediately I received, the joy I had before that didn't get stale. I've never had to get fresh oil. I don't need an oil change. The Holy Ghost don't get stale in me. I've learned to stir up the gift of God in my life. That doesn't mean I haven't had trouble. I mean, I got trouble all the time. If you're on television, you're going to have trouble. People can always be attacking you about something. Your integrity is going to be attacked. Things are going, all kinds of stuff, especially if you preach prosperity. Oh, he just want money. Hey, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I got money. I got some money. Do you understand? This is she money. She don't know why I got it, but I got it. You've heard me say it before. I'm not trying to get money. Money's trying to get to me. Because I've learned to master money. And if you don't respect money, money will kill you. Money will hurt you bad. But if you respect it, it can be the greatest blessing ever placed in your hand to be a blessing not only to you and your family, but also to others. To the gospel. See, no beginning of the gospel can be true and effectual except it leads to spiritual revelation. In other words, if you read the Bible, you should be getting revealed knowledge on everything. You see, and let me tell you something. Once you're mad at a first helping of a scripture, don't mean you can't go back for seconds. Because the Bible is pregnant with revelation. It's constantly cooking. If you take a spoon of it out, God creates a new spoon. It's called the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So no beginning of the gospel can be true and effectual except it leads to spiritual revelation. What does that mean? The prophets pointed to John. John pointed to Jesus. Jesus pointed to the Holy Ghost. Notice the sequel. Isn't that amazing? The gospel pointed to John. Oh, he said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. John said, pointed to Jesus. Behold, the Son of God has taken away the sins of the world. And then Jesus pointed to the Holy Ghost. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. See, that's a sequel of events. Things are happening. God is very progressive in his revelation and in his doings. I'm going to say something going to shock you. I have to watch what I say because I get it. I have to be very careful. I do not abuse that power and that gift that the Lord has placed in my life. Because, you know, people love you, and if they love you, they'll bless you. But you got to learn to not use that for your own personal effect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with somebody blessing. Don't misunderstand. I believe in receiving. That's not the issue. But sometimes, you know, you can see somebody will just do anything you say. And if you use that power to hurt that person, God said, woe unto you that hurt my children. Be better than a millstone tied around your neck and thrown in the sea. Oh, you hearing what I'm saying? People all the time write me and say, you know, you have an influence in television because you're a world ministry vision and you're all over the world. Why don't you talk about this particular thing? I had one guy tell me the other day. He said, why don't you run for office? Brother Jesse, people love you. I tell you, you could win an office. I mean, he said, you ought to get into politics. Politics. I said, have you ever thought in your finite mind that God didn't tell me to do that? God didn't tell me to do those things. God told me to preach the gospel. Yet, because everybody is in the state of Louisiana know who I am, and when I say everybody, that's kind of an all conclusion. Maybe not everybody, but I'm on television all over. People know me. I can't go anywhere that people don't know me. And I don't mean that arrogantly. And let me tell you, that's not fun. That is not fun. When you're in a mall and you got to go to the bathroom, you prefer to go by yourself. I've had people stand outside and say, I'll wait for you. And I've had some come in and say, let me talk to you when you're in the stall. No, I don't want to be by myself. I am telling you, I can't walk out of my house. Listen, I'm satisfied with the house that I'm living in. Do you understand? I've been there 18 years, right, Kathy? I mean, we got a nice home. It's a blessing. I'm satisfied. I can't stay there anymore. I can't walk out my house. I planted these oak trees. I love these oak trees. They're big now. You can get under them, sit down. I can't. I walk out that house. I'm not out there. 30 seconds, cars start stopping. So now I got to wall myself up. I ain't never been to prison, but I'm going to build my own prison. I have to wall myself up. I got people that love me. I got people that don't like me, want to shoot me. Kathy's had to call the district attorney, the sheriff, all kinds of stuff. People, I don't know. I don't know what makes them think those kind of things. Yet I still love them. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm not a big shot. I don't know what that means. Kathy told me, you don't see yourself as people see you. And she said, Jesse, don't eat everything people give you. Amen. They could poison you. People give you. I go, whoa, glory to God. Let me try that. Well, the Bible said, I stand on the scripture. If you eat any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. And some people gave me some stuff that wasn't poisonous, but it was deadly. It was deadly. Somebody made a gumbo for me one time. Lord Jesus, how many years ago? That was 28 years ago. I'm still remembering. I do not receive a gumbo. I don't receive gumbo from anyone unless you are Cajun and you fat. If you fat and you're Cajun, I'll eat your gumbo. Well, that was the worst gumbo I've ever seen in my life. Even the dog didn't eat it. You see, so Kat said, you got to have to be careful. You know, I mean, I've been surrounded a lot of times. I mean, I've been in some pretty hair-raising situations. But, you know, I don't want to be stupid. I believe in security, and I got security and all that kind of stuff. But I made up my mind, you know, that if Jesus can't protect me, then ain't nobody going to do it. See, so my point is to lead you to another area of your life. So the prophets pointed to John. John pointed to Jesus. Jesus pointed to the Holy Ghost. The sequel. the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, in order to be wise, you must grasp the revelation as a whole. You see, I grasp the revelation of prosperity, not as a money message, but as an obedience message. You have to grasp, you can't pick, you can't take a piece of it. You have to grasp it as a whole. Well, let me say it again. In order to be wise, you must grasp the revelation as a whole. You must know its proportions, its analogies, and its tendencies. You see, I know what prosperity can do. I can tell when somebody just wants to make money. I have a lot of people call me all the time. But Jay, why don't you come do this, do this. And they just want to make money. They don't why don't you let the Lord talk to me about it? And he may not talk to me about it, and yet he might. See, I'm not for sale. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, I believe in me, like in my house, for example. So we're going to build another home. And I told Kathy, I said, build whatever you want. I don't care. But let this be the last one. And I'm going to have to put a fence around it. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm the kind of man, I just like being normal. And because I don't know what all that stuff is, but I have to learn something, because more television on the more. I mean, I've had people run up and grab me in Germany from the back. Who is that? And they go, and I'm going, whoa, who are you? You know, but all they go, Jesse, yes. I've had them grab me in the middle of a hotel in a lobby in Africa, South Africa, just in tears come out their cheek and just stain my shirt. And they said, and this girl said, you are the man that went to heaven. And I told these people, that's what she thought. And I told these people that you would come and see us. And they all said I was a liar. And I've been saying for years, but you are here. And she said, this is the man. And all of them were just standing there. Now, what do? You go, hi. That's all I knew. I didn't know what else to do. So I like it. I like to give people a little privacy. The other day, something happened at our house. I said the other day, it's been about 4 months. Kathy said, there's something in the attic. You hear this? I said, yeah, I wonder what that is. Come to find out there was a squirrel in there. Everybody got to have a place to live. I like the squirrel. She said, Jesse, we got to get that squirrel. I said, let him live. I let him live till he started getting in the sand, bringing in women in there, and then we had to get him out. Come to find out he done got some women in there. I said, oh, boy, you got to go. There ain't no sin in this house. Now, Kathy, when Kathy saw the squirrel, she get a little exaggeration. I saw her go into the attic, she come out. That was exaggeration. She said the squirrel's foot was this big. That ain't exaggeration. I don't know what it is. That squirrel would be 985 pounds if he's foot that big. He just came out. Kathy was going to get some Christmas decoration. Oh, his whole squirrel. She goes, and the squirrel came out, look at it. She went, you can have the place. She just left. I said, Kathy, the squirrel ain't going to hurt. She said, yesterday they're going to eat the electrical wires and everything. Only once. Then we're going to have some squirrel for Christmas. So finally she talked me into it. We got a hold of people that handle that stuff. And we bought a trap. And we caught them squirrels. And I told him, but we didn't kill them. Now we released them out in the field and all that kind of stuff. I said, you know, you could have stayed in my house, but you brought sin into it. You can't do that. You need to get saved, squirrel. This is a heathen girl. You don't want this girl. Get out of here. I don't know if he obeyed or not, but he don't have a house no more. So I could tell Kathy, she's laying in the bed, she goes, I don't hear nothing. Thank God, you know. But one of them was very, very smart. So we put a little cup of pecans in this trap. The first one ran in there, caught the girl, boom, she gone. Here come the boy, you know, the man with the foot this big, I guess. He would stick his hand in the trap and pull the bowl to him and eat it from the outside. I said, you are smart. I ought to just let you have the house. I just give it to you. I like the squirrel. So what I did was put the bowl on the other side up against the wall where he cannot get on that side. And hunger will make him go in that trap. And we caught it. And when we caught him, he could see his face like, I said, see, you've been lusting and that's your problem. I want you to know that, but I forgive you. We turned loose that day. He took off into the woods, you know, and of course, I guess he got him home. I don't know. But we released the girl at the same place. Maybe they'll get saved. I don't know. Because you see, they were going to produce a sequel. You thought I was off my sermon, huh? Mm-mm. And if you look at the children of the child of Peter and Phyllis Dozak, they produced a sequel. Then Randy and his wife produced a sequel. And the sequels are better, getting better and better. I was so excited. I saw Alexi. Y'all call her Alexi? Alexa, she says, I lost a tooth. I got $5. You know, children are amazing. Alexa asked her mama, how much is a tooth worth today? How much is a tooth going for today? Good Lord, kids already got this figured out. If I'd have got $5 and I lost my teeth, I'd have tore every tooth out of my head. I used to get a nickel. A quarter was big, but if you got a quarter, you was something. And she says, she told me, she went, I got another one loose. I could see her going. So this, his grandbaby comes and looks like this. She's rich. But one day if Jesus tarries, she'll probably produce a sequel. Isn't that amazing? She'll produce another revelation. So you must see the revelation as a whole. A person only works well in proportion as he knows the measure of his power and the limit of his mission. Just because you know the alphabet doesn't mean you can write a book. See, a lot of people think they go to church that they can preach. Yeah, you might be able to speak, say it, but that doesn't mean you're going to get somebody saved and keep them saved. See, a lot of people get somebody to an altar with an emotional response, but can you have them 30 years later at that same altar, loving God the day that they first walked down? See, that's what it means when the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What are you saying? I'm saying a person only works well in proportion he knows the measure of his power and the limit of his mission. Just because you know the alphabet doesn't mean you can write a book. See, a lot of people say, well, I can prophesy, but that don't make you a prophet. You see my point? You know, there's some women can sew, then there's some seamstress, which is a vast difference. Then there's tailors. Now you're getting into all different levels, different sequences, till you get to a point where you get the best. Am I correct in that? If some people can really, you know, decorate a home, then you have, quote, another level called a decorator that you can bring in. They see things you don't see. Because they're constantly developing. They see the whole thing. They know the power of their limitations. And they know what they can do. See, so when you understand this, this gospel first came, remember this, first as a counsel, as a thought, then as a person, then as a creation. It produced only believe ministries. Then out of only believe ministries, it's producing revelations. Because who could ever build something like this in a country rural area? You don't do that. You can only do that in the major cities. But evidently somebody didn't tell you you couldn't do it. You just decided to do it. Oh, and many people probably criticize that. That ain't going to work. That's going to be the biggest lemon you ever saw. No, it's going to be the biggest building you ever saw. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Who says you can't be done? The minute somebody tells you can't do something, ladies and gentlemen, they just told you can. You are created in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you understand that? There's great power in you. You may not know how to exercise it, but if you go to a, quote, a health club, you can learn how to exercise your body. You go to a good church, you'll learn how to exercise your spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? One of the greatest cravings of our human nature, which the gospel of Jesus applies, is our craving of light. I've had people say, well, you ever get tired going to church, get tired of God? No, why would I get tired of God? Oh, I enjoy the Lord. I get tired of Christians. You should never judge Christianity by the conduct of Christians. I've seen Christians do some of the worst things in the world, but I've never seen God do those things. So I don't judge God because of what some crazy person decided to do. I tell you, some Christians love God killing people. They want to see God wipe somebody out. I would prefer to see God save somebody. I don't get an enjoyment in judgment. If you get enjoyment in disciplining your children, something wrong with you. Yet love in its purest form is discipline. You have to discipline the child so the child can grow to become a responsible person in the community. But if you enjoy it, something wrong with you. You see, my problem, and I was wrong, I have to agree that I was wrong. My daughter's 33 years old. I have never told her no. Never. Her mama told her no all the time. She'd want something. I said, Jody, I'd give it to you, but your mama don't want you to have it. I was wrong. I admit to it. I was wrong. And I tell you what, when she'd come in, all her friends, Jody's friend would say, I love your daddy, but your mama. Well, I made myself look good, made her look bad. Now, I didn't do some of the things that Kathy would do, like pick up the phone and listen to a conversation. I said, Kathy, that's Jody's personal business. She said, that's the kids in my house. That may not work today in the Constitution, though, because, you know, a lot of people are taking people to court over that. But Kathy took care of Jody. I said, now, Joe, you got a problem, you know. And I didn't recognize. I just wanted her to be happy. And she would be 13 years old. And she was kind of well endowed, you know. She looked long older than 13. So she'd put on a dress that make her look like she's 21, 22 years old. She said, Daddy, you like it? I said, I think you look like $1 million, Joe. Kathy said, take that dress off. Put something on that gives you, makes people, so you see people know your age. And I said, Jody, I'd give it to you, but your mama don't want you to have it. Why, Daddy? I said, I don't know. But I'll never forget the day she walked in and gave me her driver's license, 17 years old. She said, Dad, I want to tell you something. I want you to see this. I said, what, Jody? Now, Kathy put a curfew on Jody. You got to be in at a certain time, you know, dates and all kinds of stuff. She says, according to the state of Louisiana, I can stay out longer than mama says I can. I have a right by the state of Louisiana to stay out longer than mama says I can. I took that license. I want to tell you something. You are my daughter. You are my daughter. You understand? This is my house. And we're going to do what your mama says. She said, why? I said, because I got to come in too. I said, you ain't the only one. What are you saying? When the frame maker mistakes himself for the painter, the art is degraded. You see, a lot of people, God give a revelation. They think they're the only one. They're it. It's really tough to become it. You know, I'm the man. Oh, Lord. You sound like Elijah. I'm the only one. The Lord says, shut up, Elijah. So several 7,000 people hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. See, when the frame maker mistakes himself for the painter, the art is degraded. See, it is possible to be under the water, but not be under the blood. You can have all this religious stuff, be under the water. You can be baptized Christian. Oh, I said, well, I'm going to heaven. No, you ain't. You're going to heaven by confession of the Lord Jesus Christ out of your heart. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. You are saved. You can actually go to hell being clean. What do you mean? Been baptized. No, I'm getting on something now. I can see it. I'm going to hit this doctrinal wall here. Well, I've been baptized. I've been christened. Whoopee-doo. You're just a clean sinner. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Let me tell you how you get to heaven. It's by the confession of the heart, the confession of the mouth. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. The Bible said you're saved, you go to heaven. Now you should be baptized. But just because you jumped in the water don't mean you're going to get there. Just because you can sing like a black person don't make you black. Just because you can sing like a white person don't make you white. It ain't easy being white. Let me tell the black people here. Y'all have arrived. You got all the kids now wanting to dance like black people. Yeah, and these white kids just don't have it. Because their mama didn't have it, their daddy didn't have it. Some of them do, but it's far and few between. But that's okay. And a lot of people say, I don't like that. Well, why? Well, give everybody a chance. I tell people, you want a good choir? Get some black people in there. Get somebody that can move with their shoulders. Hello, instead of hello. Come on, girl. Talk to me. I know. I like something to move me. And if you notice something, you find that black people, when they walk, especially younger, they walk with a lean. They got a little swing to it. White people walk. Hey, how y'all doing? Now, I'm not against white people. I'm not against black people. We can all learn from each other. When will we come together as one? We can learn from each other. Not try to be over someone or under someone. Just learn from each other. It's the sequels. See my point? Because talent is given by God and should be appreciated. Now, there's some people who sing better. Kathy was one of the prettiest girls I ever dated in my life. I dated some beautiful girl when I was single. Good Lord. I dated Miss Louisiana. She liked me a lot. But I met Kathy at a swimming pool. And her four other sisters. Never forget I said. But she was a little skinny in those days. I'm hanging around Peter Dozak. I better shut up, but bless God. Hallelujah. she's a little skinny. So I liked her sister, Deborah. Now, we're all brother-in-laws, we're all married, sisters and things of that nature. But I really like, and I thought, man, Kathy, that's a beautiful girl. And I remember she came to one of these clubs that I was playing. So I asked her to come and sit by the piano. And I did this song, Unchained Melody. Remember that song? Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? So, and Kathy going looking at me like this. She was just infatuated with me, you know. I was good looking when I was young. I'm a faith preacher. You got to believe that by faith. So I said, if you want to sing, you can sing with her. So she goes, oh, my love. I said, how can something look so good sound so bad? I don't understand. I said, Kathy, don't sing. Just smile. But you know, the Lord has touched her voice. It took 30 years, but it came to pass. I prayed, sought the Lord, fasted. Now she can sing. She played piano. Did all kinds of stuff. But when I first heard, I thought, most girls can sing. But I found out that's not true. See, now I was an entertainer. I had that place going. And I said again, when the frame maker mistakes himself for the painter, the art is degraded. And I said that to say this. Cat said, you want me to sing with you some more? I said, no, that's okay. Just sit there and smile and look pretty. Want a drink? I thought maybe she'd drink it. Or maybe if I drank, she might sound better. Praise God. You know, all kinds of stuff. She just couldn't hold a tune in a bucket. Now her sister could sing, boy. All them other sisters sing. I said, what happened to Kathy? But yeah, now when you want something, you want somebody that can decorate something. Oh, Lord Jesus. And they'll call her sisters. Hey, Kathy, come over here. See, what do you think? She can do that stuff. In fact, she came up to me one time. She says, turn me loose, Jesse. Turn me loose. I said, what? She said, let me decorate this ministry. Let me turn me loose. Let me do what I want to do. Which means is open a wallet. Turn me loose. I said, Kathy, go ahead. And then the next thing I see is my little wife with a big old, almost an 18-wheeler truck. I said, good Lord, she's loose. Somebody locked the gate. Where's she going? She took off down the road driving that big truck and came back with it full. And all the guys going, we're going to have to unload all this stuff. And she started. That's 122,000 square foot. The ministry she began to decorate and knocked that thing out, man. She said, turn me loose. I said, how much did you spend? You don't want to know. Just pray and trust the Lord. And trust me. And she did a good job. Because I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have done that. It'd have been impossible. But she good. What are you saying? I'm saying true revelation is always harmonious to the person. Christ, true revelation supplies love. In other words, when I released her, I said, I trusted her. I loved her. Go do this thing. She came back and got it done. And I tell you what, if I'd have went, I'd have spent more money. That's the truth. I would have spent more money. But women know how to work things. You know, they know how to do things. And where most men, they just go in there and go, well, is that what we need? That's what you need. Well, okay. And try to make a halfway decent deal. But boy, you get that woman in there. I tell Kathy when we go to buy something, don't get excited about it. Don't get excited about it. Get excited about it when we get in the car. Just look normal. We'll discuss it. And buddy, I'll tell you what, they don't want you to leave the store. Because they figure they're going to lose the sale. And all of a sudden, and you know, we serve a Jewish God, so we should do good deals. He don't pay retail, so why should we? Come on, somebody shout over that. Now, well, God gives you wisdom. Why would you need to pay the sinner? When will the Christians have their own banks? So you want to borrow some money? Why not borrow from a Christian organization? Banks. Instead of paying all that interest to heathens. How about our own coffee shops? How about our own shopping centers? Huh? Why not keep this within us and then let the world come to us instead of we've been going to the world? Why can't it be done? Why does it have to be somebody else? You can be an entrepreneur. Why does someone else have to own the McDonald's or the Wendy's? Why can't it be you? You see my point? Why can't we the one build the golf courses if that's what you like? Because you see, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What God is saying is reproduce yourself. Now when you understand that, then you'll understand this. All the theology of the church is captured in this one verse, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Had every part of the New Testament been lost, this verse would have sustained Christianity. That one little verse. Why? The verse contains four great wonders. The greatest wonder of heaven, the Son of God. The greatest wonder of humanity, Jesus Christ. The greatest wonder of all knowledge, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The most wonderful era, the beginning of the gospel. That one verse has those four things in it. It has four great wonders. One, the greatest wonder of heaven, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The greatest wonder of humanity, Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus Christ in there. Greatest wonder of all knowledge, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel. The most wonderful era, the beginning of the gospel. That's four. If the whole Bible had been lost and all we'd have had was Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it would have sustained Christianity. Because out of that one verse comes the sequel. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Jesus, Jesse. I'm in there. So are you. We're the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. What part of the planet you don't own if you're an heir with the Father and a joint heir with Jesus? Think about that for a minute. You know why the devil don't want you debt free? Because he's told the devil has told his own demons that he owns the earth, that he owns this. All of a sudden, demons ain't stupid. They say, well, how come we don't own that? That you have the title deed today. He says, shut up. I don't want to talk about that. I asked the Lord something. He gave me a revelation in November that really shocked me. He said, you ever notice that sometimes that the devil don't mess with you? I said, yeah. He says, things run smooth. And then all of a sudden, maybe something hit. But sometimes everything's just running good. He said, you know why that's happening? You think he went on vacation? You think he took a break? I said, well, no, I never thought of it. I go, why is that, Lord? He said, he's putting out his own fires. I said, what? He said, he's got rebellion in his own camp. There's demons that don't want to follow him anymore. They can't follow Christ because they deceitfully, but they want to do their own thing. See, he lied to them just like he lied to you. You see, he sowed a seed of revelation, of rebellion and revolution in heaven, and what you sow, you will reap. And there's demons jumping up saying, I ain't following you no more. We're going to do our own thing here. And he has to put them down. Isn't that good? He said, that's why you're not having trouble today, because he's fighting his own devils, trying to get them back in line. Because he sold a revolution, he gets a revolution. Somebody shout, somebody. Think about that for a minute. That's why sometimes things run pretty smooth. Things run right, because he's putting out his own fires. He tries to get them under control again, and then he comes back at you. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Yeah. I find that the devil's got great trouble, and I'm going to give him more and more every day. See, the wonderful beginning was the beginning of the end of the wonderful old. Yeah. New Testament. The sequel is better than the Old Testament or covenant. Let me say it again. The wonderful beginning was the beginning of the end of the wonderful old. The New Testament was better than the Old Testament. Not that the Jews had something bad. No, no. But what happened was, to the Jew, he gave a law, do this or die. But to me and you, the New Testament, he gave a way embodied in the actual personality called the Holy Ghost. And if Jesus is the way, you can't get lost. If he's the truth, you cannot be deceived. And if he's the life, the devil can't kill you. Now, I'm teaching here more than I know. I could preach something really exciting, but I wanted to get this into you. What I'm saying is, you are producing a sequel. That's why your children ought to be a part of God's work. Because they're going to do a greater work than you will. God will see to it. The teachings must outlast the teacher. Now, let me say this in close. How many ministers? We have any ministers in here today? We have some ministers? Now, I want you to listen to me. If you're going to cry, cry up. Never cry down. What? If you're going to open your heart to someone, always open to someone that you feel is on a higher spiritual level than you are. Never cry down or cry equal. You must cry up, because if you cry equal or cry down, they will lose respect for you. Pastor Peter could get up here and say this. Watch this. I tell pastors all the time, ministers, if you hesitate in that pulpit, you'll produce confusion in those pews. Right now, Jesse Pence Ministry does well financially. But all I got to do tomorrow is call an office staff meeting, get all my staff in, and say this. And even though, Marge, it's not true, even though it's a lie from the pits of hell, say this. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to pay y'all coming up here pretty soon. It would cause a shudder all the way through that ministry, even though it's a lie. See, a leader's got to make a decision and go with it. So if you hesitate in the pulpit, you produce confusion in the pews. So if you're going to cry, and at this time the minister needs someone to talk to, cry up. Because you see, if you cry up, that person can understand and said, I'm with you. And they will protect your privacy. But if you cry down or cry even, you got trouble on your hands. And there's always someone that knows something more than you do. So you shouldn't always do that. And if you'll do that, my God, your life will be a lot better. Because you see, you never preach what you're going through because you don't know the end result. That's called emotional preaching. You're going to have to retract some tapes. Don't preach what you're going through. Preach what you've gone through. Because once you've gone through, you got an answer to what you went through. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, that's what it means here, the greatest secret, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ the Lord. So if you don't understand that last point, and that last point was this, that the verse contains four great wonders, remember, each day begins in midnight darkness, especially if you're in the Western Hemisphere. Each year is born in a wintry cold and gloom. You go out there right now, there's ice hanging from trees and branches breaking like crazy. But I promise you, in the next 2.5 months, in the midst of all that devastation, there's going to be green leaves coming. Spring's coming. Do you see my point? So when you might be in the middle of your spiritual winter, and you may have had an ice storm, and you feel so cold you can't do nothing. But mark my words, the only branches that are going to break are the ones you don't need. It's called purging. And God's going to clean you up. And I promise you, by springtime in your Christianity, you'll be blooming. You'll be blooming. Or in other words, actually, winter is the time that storage is made to put in the ground to produce the new sequel. So actually, winter is good for you. Because it kills everything that's dead and old, gets rid of it all. And it produces new life. Even the animals notice it. And if you're a hunter, you can see the deer better in the snow. I saw that yesterday. We were driving here. And one of my pilots said, "Wow, is that deer?" "Yeah." Now, I don't believe in killing things just to kill things. I don't kill nothing I don't eat. And I'm not a good fisherman, so I usually go to a fish market and say, "Throw it at me." He said, "Well," I said, "just throw it at me." "Excuse me, sir?" "Throw the fish at me." "Thank you." Cat said, "Did you catch that fish?" "I caught it." Man got to do what a man got to do, you understand? I'm not a good fisherman, but I caught every one I've ever eaten. "Just throw it at me." I learned that from my daddy. He lied us all his life that he fished. He is no fisherman. But he caught everyone he ever had. That's a true story. I said, "Daddy, did you actually go to the fish market?" He said, "I bought everyone. I ain't never caught a fish in my life." I said, "But you lied. You told us I caught him." He said, "Did the guy throw it at me?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Did I catch it?" "Yeah." He said, "What part of that you don't understand?" So I put that in my own life. "Throw it at me. Just throw it at me. I'll catch it." Glory to God. The greatest sequel. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Lord. So let me say this and close again. Now you're going to have another sequel. I didn't know your wife was pregnant. But a sequel never comes unless a seed is sown. "Well, we're believing for a baby." "Well, you're going to have to do something." That makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to grow in life, you're going to do something. And you know what I thought for a minute? I said, "She's getting a little chunky, isn't she?" Then I thought, no, she don't get chunky. No, they're going to have a baby. And that's such a blessing. I just didn't put 2 and 2 together and come up 4. That's a blessing. I think, look at that. Peter and I'm going to have 3 grandchildren, and Jesse ain't got nothing but cats. How many of y'all heard about the huge hurricane that was coming toward New Orleans? Hurricane Ivan. Now, I didn't send it to Pensacola. They own their own. But I put that wall of blood around us, because that would have done way more damage in New Orleans, because New Orleans is below sea level. We began to pray. Now, it'd be stupid to stay there. So we had to evacuate. So Jody called me. She said, "Daddy, where you going?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to go to Dallas and do some television work. You know, while this hurricane blowing all." I said, "But I done prayed it ain't coming here." But I said, "By using good sense, we're going to get out of here." She said, "Can me and Ed go with you?" I said, "Yeah, come on. Let's get on the plane." "Can the cats come?" I said, "You mean the cats? You mean the grandcats?" She said, "Yeah, Dad, that's our family, the grandcats." I said, "Yeah, bring the cats." So the cats got on the plane. Me and Kathy got on the plane. Ed and Jordan got on the plane. So we had Sammy and Manette. They're the Jewish cats. Then we got Holiday, who's a Gentile. I'm not kidding you. Sammy and Manette are them blue blood cats. That's some high dollar cat. I can't believe how much money cat Jody spent on them cats. Lord, I mean, they high dollar cats. They walk around, you know. They just kind of look at. Now, Holiday is just an old alley cat that came to Jody's house, cut the covenant. Holiday cut the covenant with Jody. Holiday's the outside cat. Now, Holiday controlled the roost. I had to find a hotel that was pet friendly. Then I had to get a room for the cats. So all of a sudden, there's Sammy and Manette. They're just looking like this. But Holiday in the middle of the floor, like, This is my domain. Ain't nobody moving unless I tell you where to move. And I looked at that and I said, that's us, Jesus. We are Holiday. We were a bunch of alley cats. We just came in and cut the covenant with you. And you gave us the same position as Sammy and Manette. I can preach on a cat. And we brought them food. I'm telling you, we gave them dinners, man. You should have seen that. And Holiday, man, she would just sit up there. Had them in the suite. And Sammy and Manette would be up like a... And I could see it. Like, Holiday, can we come in there? After a while. Holiday jumped on the couch into all the blankets and just snuggled up in there. All you saw was her face. She said, I will let y'all. Come on. We're walking. We're walking. Go ahead through. And Sammy, probably the prettiest cat I ever seen in my life. White cat with perfect blue eyes. He just look at you like. And he looks at me and he looks up and down my body. Because he can see Jody in me. But I know what he's thinking. What happened to Jody? He just looks at me like that. He's trying to figure it out. It's amazing. And I said, you better thank God of who I am. Because if Jesus tarries and I die, y'all going to be the richest cats in New Orleans. Y'all the grand cats. So I want to take a picture and put it on the cover. How many of y'all would like to see it? Me sitting down in a white suit with the grand cats. Would y'all like to see that? Wouldn't that be funny? I'm holding them cats. And Holiday, just boss of the whole place. Yeah, now we laugh at that. But you know what? We're going to have to watch them because we will have sequels. We will have sequels. So we have to learn to protect that. Glory to God. Now these cats, they control. That's it. I'm going to let you know. Dad said, Jody, why don't y'all come on up? Oh, Dad, I got to get home. I said, what's the matter? She said, the cats. I said, well, do they have something to eat? Yeah. I said, they have their own bathroom? Yeah. What's your problem? Well, they hadn't seen us in a while. I said, you only been gone 3 hours. I said, but they hadn't seen us. And sure enough, buddy, they were standing at the door. Just waiting for Jody and Ed to hit that door. They just standing there. And you could see it in their face like, y'all home. And then I looked outside and there's Holiday going, I took care of everything. Ain't no problems here. Anybody mess with this yard, I'll take care of them. It's really kind of funny, isn't it? That God has taken the alley cat to preach the gospel to the world. But that doesn't mean the covenant cat is less than the alley cat. We're all one in Christ. Did you enjoy it this morning? Lord God, what a blessing.